She said, aren't you glad the rain is finally gone? Then I heard the words for this song. She didn't understand what she was saying, but something deep inside of her must have heard me praying. 'Cause it's been raining since October 17th. I don't know if you know what I mean.
This is the Missing People Podcast. Hello, I'm Steve Branham. Welcome to the second part of the conversation between my co-host Kelly Jolkowski, president and founder of Project Jason, and Janelle Rapp, founder of GINA for Missing Persons, a nonprofit project of the National Heritage Foundation. And now let's get back to their conversation.
Last year, you did a huge tour that, if I'm not mistaken, started out maybe on a smaller vein, but really grew to include international locations, and I believe it went on for much longer than you had anticipated, and you ended up with more venues than you had anticipated, and that was called the Squeaky Wheel Tour. We need to hear about, how did you come up with the Squeaky Wheel Tour, and what happened after that?
Well, the idea and the goal of the Squeaky Wheel Tour was to gain national attention for missing people. I'm still working on trying to get national attention for my sister. I have received national attention for her one time. So it's still a goal of mine for her as well as the others. And, you know, I thought if I had a ton of events in a short period of time, that that was bound to get national attention. You know, it would be wonderful and lovely if I could get, you know, a very well-known artist to help us out and get that national attention, but I have not been able to achieve that yet. So I thought, well, if we just have, you know, 150 was the goal, 150 events in a two-week period. Well, what happened is I was talking to Susan Morrow, who's a PR person, and she also has had children that were missing for a number of years. And she has started helping us with GINA. And I said, we have to call it something like Screaming Loud Enough or something. You know, we're just brainstorming. And she said, what about the Squeaky Wheel? And I said, that's it. And from then on, we called it the Squeaky Wheel Tour. And initially, it was supposed to be from October 17th, GINA's disappearance, to GINA's birthdate, which is November 4th. And the goal is to have 150 events with 150 artists and profiling at least 150 missing people, one person per event. What happened is the artists got so excited about doing this that they wanted to start early, so we actually started September 6th. And then as the Squeaky Wheel Tour grew momentum, as the wheels were rolling, more artists got involved, and they wanted to go all the way till the day before Thanksgiving. And so we did that, and we ended up with over 200 events. We were in almost all 50 states, and we were in 8 countries.
That's fantastic. Were any missing persons found as a result of that? Did quite a few of them get some good media attention that perhaps brought in some leads for their cases?
We actually, like I said, we profiled over 200, and out of the 200, 10 missing people that were profiled were found during that time period. Whether it was directly or indirectly because of us, we don't know, but we do know that many people received attention that had never received it before. Some very old cold cases received attention, and we know for sure that 2 people were directly found because of the Squeaky Wheel Tour.
That's outstanding. Thank you so much. Now, you mentioned towards the beginning of our conversation, did I hear that right? Are you doing the Squeaky Wheel again next year, or this year in 2007?
We are, and this year
we are sticking
to October 16th. Through November 4th, and our goal is to have 500 events, and in more countries. We haven't set a goal on how many countries yet, but all 50 states in more countries.
And that was 500 events, did you say?
500 events in 20 days.
Okay. Okay.
Because we still need more attention for those missing people, and there are more and more missing people that we have not been able to help with. There are a lot of cold cases, and as you know, Kelly, cold cases are very difficult to get attention for, especially if there are no leads. And this particular tour, and you know, when an artist decides to do an event, and it becomes something bigger than themselves, it becomes the hook that the media will say, okay, we're going to do an article. This artist is doing an event for this longtime missing person. That becomes a story. That becomes newsworthy.
How have your artists shared with you that this has changed their life or changed their outlook in some way by being involved with this?
The artists have taken this as their own mission. That's something that happened with the Squeaky Wheel Tour that I didn't have as a goal or even imagine that these artists would feel this way. But they, you know, you have your Adopt a Missing Person program. And, you know, we have some of our artists use that program from time to time. But with the Squeaky Wheel Tour, we had so many missing, we weren't able to implement that at each event. But each artist, when they got their missing person for their event, they felt that was their person. They, you know, on their own, they were adopting that person, and they still are, and they still talk about that missing person at their events long after this. The artists, in fact, didn't want to quit the Squeaky Wheel Tour. They wanted to continue it year-round. That's how much they're into it. And beyond that is they feel like this mission has given their music more meaning, and that it's not, it's just like what I said earlier, it's not just about them being on an ego trip necessarily and trying to sell their own music and get their name out there. This is, it's a deeper meaning, it's a bigger meaning, it's beyond themselves. And it's something that they actually say they've been looking for this.
That's outstanding. So, of course, I'm sure given that when you do the Squeaky Wheel Tour this fall, that you're going to have probably a very high percentage of returning artists, I'm sure.
I believe so. We have a database of over 500 artists since we started doing Gina concerts 6 years ago now. It'll be 5.5 years ago. And I believe we'll probably double that with this new Squeaky Wheel Tour coming up.
Now, you did have involved this past year on the Squeaky Wheel Tour, some comedians also participate in the tour. Is that right?
Yes, we did.
So
we had three,
perhaps more of the comedians being involved, and how did they react to it?
Well, initially, the comedians were a little nervous about it because their people come there to laugh. And when someone's missing, as we know, it's an extremely sad subject. And, you know, how I've encouraged them to talk about it is tell their listeners or their audience that, you know what, this is a very sad subject, but we're all here, and there's a group of eyes and ears that could hear about this missing person that, you know, if I wasn't telling you about them, you wouldn't know about them, and there's a chance for this person to be found. So it's really a good thing that we're able to have this moment in time. And so when they present it that way, then everybody's comfortable with it, and they go on with their show, and people have really gotten into it at the comedy clubs.
That's great. I love to see that expand, and that's why I wanted to touch in on the section about the comedians, because perhaps there may be someone who's listening who is a comedian or knows someone in that artistic field that may want to participate this year, as well as the musicians. And there is hope. I think that some people think in some of these cases there isn't any hope, but you mentioned that there were 10 missing people found during the time of the Squeaky Wheel Tour, and then two directly as a result of having the events. Can you share any stories about who was found and maybe how long they'd been missing? What miracles did we have because of the concert?
Well, two girls that were found directly because of the Squeaky Wheel Tour had been missing for, you know, I don't have my numbers exactly right, but I know, I believe one was 3 years and one was four. And somebody, by seeing the flyer, actually lived next door to one of the girls, and he actually called me on my cell phone and let me know that he had found her, and we were able to get her home to her mother.
How beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's when you get that call, when someone has found someone, I don't even know, you know, how to describe how that feels. It's so intense, you know, to think that someone has their loved one back or has a chance of having their loved one back.
Anything's possible, and I know that you agree with me that awareness is the key. And so as you're out there using your music to bring awareness, you've obviously proven that. So it's not hopeless. We need everyone to become involved.
Exactly. And you know what? There are just everyday people can do things. They can go on to 411gina.org and print out a flyer and post it in their local area. That's a very simple, easy thing to do. It doesn't take a lot of time, and you don't know who's going to see that flyer. It's most of the time, Kelly, you can attest to this, that it is the flyer that brings them home, because somebody at a local convenience store sees it and puts two and two together, and this person is home.
I know that with the missing children statistics, I believe that it is 6 of every 10 who are found as a result of something visual, and the something visual usually is a poster. So someone seeing that photo on a poster recognizes the person and they're reunited. So any means of awareness that's visual has a lot of meaning and impact, and you're proving that every day. You've got
another website.
It is very exciting. And don't you agree that for you and I, with our own situations and our own missing loved ones, you know, how does it make you feel in respect to Gina's story when you hear about the other stories?
It makes me feel like it does give me hope for Gina, especially, you know, when someone's been missing for 6 or 7 years and they're found. You know, it gives me a lot of hope. But also, when someone's found, it gives meaning to Gina's disappearance. You know, human beings, we always want to find meaning to what's happened in our lives, and we don't always find that. But in this case, by working to help find others when they're found, you know, with or without my efforts, it certainly makes me feel like, wow, you know, Gina's disappearance and Gina's life has so much more meaning now.
That's excellent. I would concur. I have the same situation with Jason and doing our work, and that everything that we do is in his name, and no matter what has happened to him, we know without a doubt that he would want us to do something like this. So we do it in his name and in his honor. You've got another website that I really like in respect to it being very, very helpful for families of the missing. Isn't that warriorsforthemissing.org or .com? Is that correct?
It's the warriors.org.
Okay. And I like that because it is just filled with all kinds of resources for families of the missing in different respects. You know, there's sections for needing help with media, sections for missing children. And of course, being this your website, you can talk more about that than I can. But I do think that families of the missing who may be listening should be aware of that site.
Yes, we put that site together because when, you know, and you can probably say the same thing that I'm about to say in your case, when Gina was first missing, I had no idea who to call or you know, any kind of organization. I'd never heard of any organization except for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And in Gina's case, that wasn't going to work because she's not a child. And so, you know, some research on the Internet, I was able to find some sites, but I couldn't find any site as time went on that listed multiple resources, sort of a yellow pages for the missing. And so we spent a lot of time researching to put this together as a resource so that the families of the missing wouldn't have to go through what, you know, you and I went through, Kelly, in trying to find resources to help us.
I think that's probably one of the top frustrations for parents or other loved ones is the fact that we don't know. And we don't know where to look. And so to have one place that you can go to see the various resources depending on your personal needs with your case type is an outstanding idea.
Exactly. We're working on a plan to get our resources to all the police departments throughout the country which is, you know, quite an undertaking, as you know, Kelly, with all of the things that you do. But we are working on trying to implement that.
Using the name Warrior also has additional meaning for you because you have a song that's called Warrior. What is a warrior?
Well, when Gina disappeared and I, you know, started working on trying to help others who are in the same situation, I started writing this song. And, you know, it was about, you know, what am I supposed to do without you? You've been gone so long. And, you know, I need to be a warrior. I need to be something I'm not in order to deal with this. And, you know, by the end of the song, I realized, you know, I'm becoming that. And I have to be a warrior. I have to be a warrior to fight this fight. I have to be something I never was before, but I've had to learn these skills and grow guts and muscle and internal strength that I never knew I could have or dreamt of having. And that's what I think a warrior is. A warrior is someone who, you know, when they're confronted with a situation, they don't ask why. They ask, what can I do? Because asking why, you know, as we know, doesn't get us any answers, but asking, what can I do? And I think, you know, if there's any message to my sister's disappearance, the biggest message is that whatever you're going through in life, whatever it might be, ask what. Ask, what can I do? And, you know, it's up to us when we are confronted with situations to, you know, try to clean up the area we're in so that the next guy coming along doesn't trip over what we tripped over. And that's what a warrior is about, is someone who gets up, dusts himself off, and walks forward and tries to do something about it.
I can't add anything to that message because it's so perfect. We're going to listen to Janelle Rapp singing her song, Warrior. Thank you.
me. With me. With me. You said, don't ask why. Ask what can I do. So I do all I can. Cause why never answers and only what can bring you back to stand. The battles that are hard for me to fight, cause I'm a warrior. I feel pain with every step I take, yet I still have what's left. But I still have what's left. Yet I still have what's left.
Janelle, you are indeed a warrior. You have become a warrior, and you're a bright and shining warrior for those of us who live with the missing loved one. And I'm so glad that we met. I wish that we hadn't had to meet because of our circumstances, because of our stories, but I cherish our friendship and am so glad that you're there for support and everything that you do in our cause.
This concludes the second section of their conversation. You've been listening to the Missing People Podcast, copyright 2007, all rights reserved jointly by the Missing People Podcast and Project Jason. For more information about Project Jason, please go to www.projectjason.org. For information about Gina for Missing Persons, go to www.411gina.org. That's 411gina.org. Original music was created and performed by Janelle Rapp. For my co-host, Kella Jolkowski of Project Jason, this is Steve Branham with the Missing People Podcast.
She said, aren't you glad the rain is finally gone? Then I heard the words for this song. She didn't understand what she was saying, but something deep inside of her must have heard me praying. Cause it's been raining since October 17th. I don't know if you know what I mean. I've been treading water all this time. At times it brings me comfort. At times I lose my mind. So lift me.